This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details. It's better
over here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to four lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device, credit, service, ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
I'm Jed Lipinski. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
97.1 FM Talk Podcast.
All right, Sue, you got to name the artists here. A little yacht rock for you here as we bring it back in the 5 o'clock hour. You know this one? I know you do. You just have to think about it. He had a song that was bigger than this, but I went with Hot Rod Hearts here.
Oh, come on.
Robbie Dupree. Yeah.
10 miles east.
Steal Away was a bigger hit, though, wasn't
yes.
it?
Yes.
Yeah, I like that one,
oh,
too.
Oh, my gosh. That's great.
There you go. A little yacht rock.
I love it.
On a Thursday evening. Who expected that on the Mark Rubin Show?
Nobody, and
go
I
figure.
Love it.
I always publish the bumper music list at the end of the show. You can always go to my Twitter, at Mark Rubin KFTK, if you would like to find out the songs that I have spun out for you here on a regular show on a regular basis. And we'll do more tomorrow on Friday. We have the Reardon Roundtable. It's going to be a fun show tomorrow with Jane, Jeff Rainford, and Gene Evans. I have an audio cut of the day coming up here a little bit later in the hour. Right now, our friend David Strom from HotAir.com. He's an associate editor. He's been on fire with his columns in the aftermath of the election. Mr. Strom, how are you?
Well, I'm on fire.
You are on fire. There's so much to talk about and there's so much to write about. And I think you've been kind of experiencing that in the aftermath of what happened last week. So let's kind of get into it here with the cabinet picks. And I don't know if you've posted anything new this afternoon, but since my show has started, we have RFK Jr. going to HHS. The Matt Gaetz pick has been super popular across the board.
Yeah.
And there's been some others. So let's start maybe with Gaetz. I don't like it. I really don't. I understand shaking things up, and I'm a fan of that. I don't see how he gets confirmed, but what's going on, do you think, with that appointment?
Well, I mean, there are a lot of different theories. And, you know, I haven't followed Gaetz that much, except in terms of his being a rabble-rouser in the House. I haven't followed the ethics complaints because, not because I don't believe them or I do, it's just that we live in hoax world. We were told that Donald Trump hired hookers to pee in a bed. So, I mean, we're well beyond just taking at face value what anyone says. But the theories run from, Trump is absolutely serious. He wants this guy to go in and clean everything up, to Trump is absolutely serious. He wants to scare the bejesus out of everyone who has violated the law there. And so he's hoping they're going to resign. There's another theory out there that this, you know, he is the sacrificial lamb. Everyone was screaming about it, all these other picks, and then Gaetz comes up and, you know, it's like the shiny object or the squirrel for the dog. Everyone's going after that.
And we've seen Trump kind of do that. There's been a little pattern there, but here's what Kevin McCarthy said.
I think choices are very good except one. Look, Gaetz won't get confirmed. Everybody knows that.
Now he went on to say this.
When you look at a Rubio, just the knowledge that he has, being in the Intel committee, I was on the Gang of Eight, and his understanding, even when you listen to the other side of the aisle, they say, he'll make a great Secretary of State. So that's strong for me. A Waltz, just his background, from a Green Beret and others being the... But John Radcliffe at CIA, former DNI, that's very strong. And the difference is to what was 8 years ago today, President Trump understands the job. He knows the people that he needs around him to get there. And I think he's going to be much better prepared because he only has one term, but he'll hit the ground running.
So, you know, I know Dwayne wrote about this on Hot Air today. If you're looking at a batting average, the Trump's batting average with the appointments here is seemingly pretty good. But the Matt Gaetz one caught a lot of people off guard. And maybe you're right. Maybe he's just kind of throwing it out there as a distraction. But look, the Ratliff appointment, I love that one. There's a lot of good picks here. I like Rubio. He's more of a, you know, traditional Republican, if you will. So he's definitely not wasting any time. And they're going to try to get some stuff done. And they owe, what, 2 years, David, right? I mean, you can't waste any time at this point.
Yeah, I mean, it's not a four-year term. You have to assume it's a two-year term because the midterms can shake everything up. Traditionally, you expect the party in power to lose seats. And I think we'll gain in the Senate, but we could lose the House. And so Trump's got to use this trifecta that he has, as fragile as it is, to really make some progress. And I mean, he's basically acknowledged that with, you know, the Department of Government Efficiency, where he put Elon Musk and Vivek, and he didn't give them a 4-year deadline. He gave them a 2-year deadline. And you know, that's just a recognition.
I love that. And I open up the show, you know, a lot of my show opens over the years have featured this soundbite.
In this present crisis, government is not the solution to our problem. Government is the problem.
One of the reasons that I am a conservative, libertarian conservative, is because I think the size and scope of all government has gotten way too big. But what I've noticed over my decades covering politics and living my life is it never goes back, David, in the other direction, even under a Republican, right? They always spend more money. They always expand government. So this is the only real opportunity that I've experienced in the last 45 years to maybe actually accomplish some of the things that we've been talking about.
Yeah, in fact, Scott Adams, the Dilbert guy, has a podcast, and you know, he's comparing this to a refounding of America. At least that's the potential. And if you look, you really have extraordinary people. You know, a lot of them have great credentials, but they weren't hired because of their credentials. They were hired because they're extraordinary. They're actually a very diverse group in terms of their ideological positions. So you're going to get real discussions going on there. And I really like, I mean, I will tell you, my favorite pick is Tulsi Gabbard as DNI. Director of National Intelligence.
Why?
Because she has been the target. I think that the key thing that you have to do with the intelligence community right now is go in and break up the cartel. You know, we often look at this and say, well, we want to have a very efficient and, you know, thoughtful intelligence community. These people are weaponized. And what I like about Tulsi Gabbard is she has been the target of that. So she understands it at a very fundamental level. I mean, don't forget, she was put on a watch list, you know, because she supported Donald Trump.
Yeah, it was
Trump.
Outrageous.
And,
right.
Yeah. And so for me, the number one thing that the person in that position has to accomplish is not actually providing great intelligence, because, of course, our intelligence community is just going to churn that stuff out anyway. It's to reform those institutions because they have become a real threat to our constitutional order.
Well, what do you think? You know, one thing that, and I can't remember, David, if you have written specifically at Hot Air about the FEMA controversy in Florida, but the one thing that I think we should anticipate moving forward is more occurrences like that. They may not be as blatant, but look, you've got people that are in these, you know, branches of the government that are in the resistance for Kamala and Joe Biden. They're going to probably do things to try to fight all this in maybe in extreme ways.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, this is, again, why both law enforcement and the intelligence community are so important to reform, because they have classified. I mean, they literally classified parents, you know, Trump supporters, pretty much anyone who dissented from what the establishment liked as potential terrorists. And that was the excuse with FEMA I just saw an interview with this lady, and she compared Donald Trump supporters to rabid dogs. I kid you not.
You mean Washington, the woman who was fired?
Yeah.
Oh, great.
Yeah. She said, oh, we are vicious dogs, not rabid. And so we avoid, anyone feeling uncomfortable, just like we avoid vicious dogs. And so people felt uncomfortable that there would be hostility. So we avoided talking to anyone who was an obvious supporter of Donald Trump. And so it's the normalization of the demonization of people who have political views that are not liked by the establishment has to be taken on.
I feel like you got a fair group of American people right now who just cannot stand what's happening, and they have TDS in extreme ways right now. They're going to try to throw as many curveballs into this and be as disruptive as possible. And you know, there's little, 20 somethings that work in the federal government that'll do things that maybe might end in they're going to prison, but they might be willing to do that. I just think it's going to be an interesting time in the next few months.
Yeah, I actually, I'm expecting violence next month or in January. I think that, the left is building up to something. They, it's obvious that people like Joe Biden never believed the threat to democracy thing. You never saw a happier guy on earth than Joe Biden meeting with Donald Trump.
Isn't that funny?
It was hilarious.
There were lots of smiles in that room, weren't there?
Yeah, yeah.
It was almost like they both agreed that getting rid of Kamala was a good move.
Exactly.
But did you see the video of Dr. Jill and Kamala sitting next to each other?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, that was... Sue, did you see that one?
Oh, I haven't seen
wow.
that one.
They didn't look like they wanted to be anywhere close to one another. It was pretty steely. There's no doubt about that.
Yeah, well... I saw someone put up a meme with a picture of Joe and Jill Biden saying, two Trump voters,
Yeah, yeah, exactly. All right, Strom, listen, thank you for jumping on here this afternoon. I hope all is well in your world up there in Minneapolis. We'll get you back soon. Thank you.
All right, sounds good.
All right, that's
you later.
David Strom from hotair.com. You know, I was gone a couple of days, so I didn't get to kind of review some of the reactions, Sue, from the weekend. And I took a screen capture of some of these things and the communications that I had. Some of them was just posting. So I follow Rolling Stone on Instagram, and here's, and this is the sentiment that people have. So one of the posts that they had is, if you voted for Trump, I hope that peace never finds you. And it's a guy by the name of Ethel, or maybe it's a woman, Ethel, who has the name of Ethel anymore, Ethel Kane, who wrote about this. Now, I did not read the piece, but what I will tell you is I have a fair amount. And what's interesting, I had this conversation with some friends who are conservative who don't have as many left-wing friends, and they were rather shocked by it because they're not experiencing the same thing. But I certainly was in my world. I have friends that are musicians, sometimes folks in Hollywood. They're not all, great, great fans of my politics, but we've been able to remain friends. So there's one guy in particular who's a musician from San Diego. He's actually been on my show. He's one of the funniest people I've ever met in my life outside of Bob Uecker, who I used to hang with every once in a while when I was up at WTMJ because he was the voice of the Brewers. I always tell people, I was never close with Bob, but I was with him enough times at, events and dinners, and I was at tables with him. The funniest person I've ever met in my life. He is unbelievable. That's why he was on Johnny Carson, 150 times or something like that. So there were a couple of posts from people. And at one point I finally said to my friend out in San Diego, all right, I'll jump in here. And basically I asked the question, well, are we friends or not? Because essentially there were people that were, calling for, there was one person on his string in particular that was calling for people to wear, and I've heard this out there on Twitter, to wear blue wristbands versus red wristbands. Or if we wear blue wristbands, we'll know who's on our side and who's not on our side. So what I said to my friend on Facebook, even though I've been trying to avoid that place like crazy, but I happened to notice this. I said, okay, I'll step up. Not on your side of the line, because the question was, what side of the line are you on? I said, not on your side of the line. So I said, no longer friends. That seems to be the BS pattern this week. And there was a wife of another musician, ex-wife actually, who I don't know as well, that said, if it were a policy debate, I would agree with you. That would be BS. But when that, quote, friend believes they don't deserve the same basic rights. I'm going to circle back to basic rights here in a second. And autonomy over their own bodies, that becomes a matter of morality. I don't know if a relationship is possible with someone who is okay with their, quote, friend being dehumanized. That's a word that's being used, like dehumanized. There can be politeness and kindness for sure, but there is no care in that, and there can be no trust either. Now, this is someone who's way, I don't know her very well. She's way out there on the fringe, but her ex-husband kind of weighed in on this and took out after me as well and said, you know, can you see why? And he's an Asian immigrant. He's also a legal Asian immigrant. But what he wrote was, he thinks he's going to be deported. He says, you know, how could you support someone who called my people vermin? Well, that's just a fundamental misunderstanding of what people are referring to as vermin. It's the people who have come into this country and raped and murdered and committed crimes. You know, one of the situations, we always kind of seem to indicate that we're only talking about people from South America, but we're not. Remember all the Chinese nationals and others that came over? So there's great concern about that. But apparently, the people on the other side only want to feel like we're targeting them, or if, you know, if we're in their world, they want to know where we are and who we voted for because we're evil and we're not to be trusted. This is a consistent theme that I'm seeing from people on the other side. I see it on Instagram. I see it on Twitter. I've seen it among some of my friends. And here's the response I got privately. So I was pretty calm, Suze, you might be surprised, on that string, because basically I said, my message was, look, you know, we're a group of people, some of these friends I'm referring to, that have all gotten together because of someone in our life that brought us together with this wonderful music festival that he created in Todos Santos, Mexico. This is my friend John Lynch. And there was this sentiment and theme that was shared during all these trips, Sue, that was inspired by my friend Grant Corrigan. You've never met Grant. He's an amazing story. Grant was an extreme athlete and snowmobiler, all kinds of skier, and he had a terrible snowmobiling accident. He missed his jump by 3 feet, and he broke his back, Mark. And he's been paralyzed ever since. He's got, you know, what do you call it? Phantom pain in his legs. But the guy, not unlike my friend Chris Smith and John O'Leary here in St. Louis, who was nearly, you know, killed when he set himself on fire, Grant is an amazing motivational person. He's one of the most inspiring people that you'll ever meet in your life. And his saying has always been, and we kind of, this group of friends kind of circled around this this saying, was mad love, M-A-D-L-U-V. So a lot of us would share that sentiment with music, and it was a great community that we experienced. So one of my questions was, hey, if someone like John would ever, COVID blew a lot of this up just with travel in Mexico, but if that opportunity would ever be presented again, we'd have a bunch of people that are wearing blue and red wristbands. All these people who got together, they know what's in John's heart, what's in my heart, but now we're the enemies because we supported this guy. But that is how they feel. So to follow up on that, I got a message from someone else that is in this group. And this was someone that reached out privately. And Iris, at first I said, hey, just living my life in the Midwest, losing friends on a daily basis. And I just want your reaction to this. She said, give it time and be kind. People are scared and protecting their peace. They will remember the way people made them feel during this time, and it will not always be this way. I think that's, you know,
that's
true.
Fair.
And some people are just arrogant, you know, blank holes. And I had to be honest. I said, well, the latter is me. And she knows me a little bit. She goes, yeah. And I said, I'm self-aware if nothing else. But she said, it's easy to fall into, and if you don't have to engage in every argument you're invited to, you don't have to pick up the tug of war rope. But this is where I was told something. And this is where it got a little preachy. As a white, wealthy man.
Oh, dear.
Sue, I discovered I'm wealthy.
Well, thank that's
God.
Interesting.
I know, I didn't know, so I was a little worried about that, but thank you. You also have a responsibility to speak up against injustice, even if it doesn't directly affect you. Oh, I speak up about injustice all the time. It's just not the same injustices that your side is talking about. So, you know, the sentiment that was shared is there are people that you love who are hurting and being harmed. I understand that people are hurting because they've been afflicted with TDS, but where are they being harmed? You know, the whole thing about women and women's rights is interesting to me because I don't understand that. There are people, though, I really believe this. There are people that they think it's going to be a national abortion ban, right?
Yeah.
They think IVF is going to be taken away. They think that birth control is going to be taken away. I heard some of these discussions.
We are not working with the same information.
No, we're not working on the same information. So, wait, one more little lecture note from this person. And I like this person. You know, this is a person who I've been around and had fun. But She said the election was an inevitable result for so many reasons. But I agree with that. The systems are working as designed and intended. It's no accident. Some of us don't reap all the benefits of greed, corruption, and power. We are the consumable product, and it is soul-sucking and sometimes dangerous for us. I don't know how to respond to that, because these are people that feel that these are working class people, and they don't feel the benefits of greed, corruption, and power. Well, first of all, on the corruption and power front, that's exactly what Donald Trump and this team of what John Lamping refers to as the Avengers is trying to accomplish. But I think I go back to the media sources here and where they're getting the information. And that's why I started with the Rolling Stone headline, because the Rolling Stone headline is basically exactly what, you know, some of these people are doing right now, what they're experiencing. I've got friends. I see some in Columbia posting things. They can't get away from this. I mean, I think it would be mentally helpful. Even I've done this, Sue, over the last week. Take a little break from politics. Don't keep posting about Donald Trump. You got a couple of months before he's even in office. You got the holidays coming up. Mark Halperin was right about the prediction of mental health. There's no doubt about that. We're coming back with more.
Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4 packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
It's better over here.
AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free. All on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Pay off up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
For the past three seasons of Gone South, we've covered one story per season. Now, Gone South is back for a fourth season. But this time, we're doing things a little differently. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Big Friday show tomorrow. Reardon Roundtable. Can't wait for that one. Jane will be on the panel. Jeff Rainford used to be the chief of staff for Mayor Slane Gene Evans. All tomorrow. Paul Hall on entertainment in the 4 o'clock hour. Cusimano with a preview of the weekend of sports. And then we have Michelle Tafoya. Not on sports. Maybe a little bit of sports. Women's sports playing against biological men. We'll cover that topic. But we'll definitely talk about Trump and some of the things that happened with the election with Michelle. She's fantastic. And my friend Gary Stromberg, who's got a new podcast out about the Rumble in the Jungle. Gary, one of the biggest PR guys in all of the music industry back in the early 1970s and throughout the 1970s. He's a great guy, tells some amazing rock and roll stories. So that will be all tomorrow as we take you into the weekend. Of course, I'm going to Howard County to hopefully shoot a deer for the first time in 3 years because I've miserably failed. My daughter is actually harassing me right now. She got a deer during the special doe season. She said, "Daddy, I've done better than you have in 3 years." And she's not wrong about that. I hope to correct all this this weekend. Right now, as we wrap up a Thursday edition of the show, Paul Morrow is back with us. Fox News contributor, retired NYPD inspector. He's got a great website called theopsdesk.org. Paul, how are you this afternoon?
I'm good, buddy. How you doing?
Fantastic. I want to talk politics. I want to get your thoughts on some of the things. But I first and foremost want to find out if you can give us an update on Danny Penny and that whole case, because a lot of us are fascinated by this and we're hoping that this guy is not found guilty. But is there a way to keep track of the progress in that right now?
So, the best way if you're not in New York and you're not hearing some of the back channel stuff is just follow the news. Everybody has good reporting going on. Fox News has very good reporting, a reporter right in the room. And right now they're still on direct. That is to say the prosecution is still presenting their case. But it's gone so poorly, in my estimation, that one has to wonder if the defense is going to bother putting on a case. And sometimes that does happen because they've really poked a lot of holes in a lot of the prosecution's theories.
Well, and that's, I was going to agree with you, because in some of the Fox coverage that I've heard, or even some of the things that have been on Twitter, you know, I've had to actually turn my attention closer to it because I thought maybe it was a defense witness because the witness was not seemingly helping convict Daniel Penny. So, yeah, to your point, I guess some of these things haven't gone the way the prosecution expected. The whole thing seems like a big waste of time to me.
It really does. And, you know, when you consider that you have to get beyond a reasonable doubt for 12 people, theoretically 12 people who likely take the New York City subway, live in this town, and deal with the rolling psych ward that is our subway these days, you know, they really have set a very, very high bar for themselves. And you have to say to yourself, too, how is the management here? Because you would like to think that you don't put, I mean, a classic sort of axiom of lawyering is don't ask a question of a witness on the stand that you don't know the answer to before you ask it. And they seem to be bumbling into all of these cul-de-sacs where the prosecution has the witness going in a direction and seems to want to pull out of it because it's not going how they want. Case in point being the most recent witness, the second to last recent witness was the Marine martial arts instructor.
Right.
Who was making all these fine distinctions about, you know, was the carotid held down? Was it the trachea that was held down, et cetera? But at the end of the day, really ended up kind of saying, I can't tell from the video. And if that's just the best that the prosecution that can come up with here, I don't see how you get beyond a reasonable doubt.
Well, that's why, you know, I think a lot of us are shaking our heads. I hear the reports. We hear the progress in this. And, you know, in the end, if this is not a guilty verdict, which I have a hard time believing this is going to be anywhere close to a guilty verdict, because as you indicated, even the prosecution putting on their own case has planted plenty of reasonable doubt. How does this DA's office respond to that and justify the resources for going after a guy who's an ex-Marine that was just trying to save people on a subway car?
You know, it's very, very, very confusing why he bothered. I think that, you know, it looked very good politically to him at the time. He was riding high on the Trump case on the horizon. And, you know, you had a new administration here in New York. And, you know, a lot of people don't realize that this case was being looked at for presentation to a grand jury. They were gathering the evidence and it was going to be presented to the grand jury to see if you got an indictment before Daniel Penny was arrested. And then all of a sudden you got some protesters jumping on subway cars and screaming in the streets in front of the DA's office. And suddenly, boom, there's an arrest. And all that changed without there was public pressure from some of the traditional pressure groups here in New York. So I think it looked like a good political move. And I think they painted themselves into a corner because it really seems to be falling apart. When you have witnesses saying, I was so scared, I almost passed out. And other witnesses saying, I went up to him afterwards and thanked him.
Right, right.
And when you have expert witnesses saying, well, I really can't tell. You know, you're not doing a whole lot to make your case. And I have a feeling that Alvin Bragg has gotten himself into one that he wishes he could get out of.
Yeah, that's reasonable doubt times three right there. And I mean, you're just getting started. So I don't understand how that, you know, progresses in a good way for Alvin Bragg. On the true crime topic, just because I noticed this, and Sue and I are in the camp that we're fascinated by this whole thing. And I think a lot of the country always gets fascinated by mass murders. But what happened in Idaho, do I see on your website that you're doing or you're featured on Emily Campagna's podcast about the Idaho murders?
Oh, right.
So, yeah, we did the so I guest hosted for Emily. I do that sometimes. And we recently did an update on the Koberger case, which the venue was moved. The received wisdom is not necessarily accurate. In fact, informed opinion out there tells me that, sure, they moved it. But if anything, they got to a jurisdiction where the judge is going to be tougher on them. And a lot of the dilatory tactics that his defense has undertaken here, I think, are no longer going to be tolerated. They have a hard date in August for the beginning of the trial. And let's remember something. This is a death penalty case. And Idaho has gotten rid of a lot of the dispute about how to do that by reinstituting the firing squad. So Kohlberg is looking at a firing squad on this case, and the evidence is extremely compelling. You know, look, I'll just give you one number. When they finally got the DNA out of the garbage in Pennsylvania and it came back to his father, this is before they even took his DNA, the likelihood that the DNA they extracted from the knife sheath not matching Brian Koberger's family was greater than the number of grains of sand on planet Earth.
Mm. Whoa.
That narrows it down, doesn't it?
Yep.
You know, so extrapolate that out to his DNA, which they took at the time of arrest. They took, you know, a buccal swab, a cheek swab. So it'll be greater than that. So it's going to be very, very tough for him to talk his way out of this one. And, you know, he's going to go to trial. He's a very cocky guy, and I don't think this one ends well for him. But they've given him every chance because it is a death penalty case, and, you know, they know there's going to be all kinds of appeals.
Did you say August is when this will start?
Yeah.
Oh, my God. It's going to still take that long.
Just incredible.
That is unbelievable. Do they? Here's a question, Paul, because I honestly don't know, and we kind of watch this from afar. Do they have a motive? Does it matter?
There's a great mystery in this thing. So it does not matter for the prosecution. You're 100% right. I'll give you my two cents for what it's worth. I know the case, you know, outside of the people who are prosecuting it and defending it almost better than anybody. And I was out there, et cetera, and I was very immersed in it. And here's my two cents for what it's worth, and that's all it's worth. I think that, yeah, there was the incel thing, and et cetera. I also think, though, that there was a little bit of I told you so here. He couldn't get a job he was trying to get an internship with the Pullman police. Couldn't get that. He was rejected from that. He wasn't doing well in this program that he was in, this graduate program. Mm-hmm. And he had written an application to the Pullman PD asking for the internship, saying that he wanted to, quote unquote, teach small town police departments how to do cyber forensic investigations. And as I said, he didn't get it. And I, you know, not long after that was when the homicides were. And I almost get the impression, putting all these pieces together, that it's a confluence of confused motives. But I feel like embedded in it, and this is amateur psychology, but, you know, indulge me. I feel like there was a little bit of, okay, I'm going to do this. You're not going to solve it.
Right.
I'm going to show you how much you needed me.
Yeah, that's interesting.
Yep.
I think you may have mentioned that before, but that's really interesting. All right, you gotta weigh in on politics here. The number one thing that everyone's asking me, let's just ask you, I'll say, Matt Gaetz, go, Paul.
Well, you know, he's about 80% of an overlap in all of the candidates. There's a 20% that's outside of it that is, I would say, very, very MAGA, and that Donald Trump knows he can count on him for to just do unasked. And this is where I go in response to that question, and I'm getting it a lot, because there are a number of things that are still hanging over Donald Trump's head that may require DOJ really, really to step up. Number one, you have obviously the prosecutions. Alvin Bragg here in New York and Judge Merchant are capable of anything. He's got the civil trial that went against him here in New York, also, in my estimation, a bogus case, courtesy of Tish James. And you've got the Fawny Willis debacle down in Georgia. If those don't go Donald Trump's way, there are avenues for DOJ to look into these things. Fawny has got tremendous vulnerabilities. And, you know, it's entirely conceivable. And I don't know anything, but it's conceivable that you see DOJ say, Fawny Willis, we're looking at you and Nathan Wade having met with the White House, as you did, for conspiracy to disrupt an election. And those are federal charges. And so we're going to dump your phone and your server. And boom, you're going to have de facto evidence of the fact that she perjured herself on the stand. So that's just one example of the kind of thing.
Maybe a good example of what's necessary.
I wouldn't be surprised. Get the kind of guy that will do that without question. And you also have the referral. People forget this. Alejandro Mayorkas was referred to DOJ for lying to Congress for perjury charges. That's been sitting over there as a dead letter in Congress because obviously the Biden DOJ is not going to pick it up. But he and Fauci, by the way, the same thing could be up for a referral like that. And Musk is making big noises about pressuring Fauci. So again, these are things that other AGs may have some pause on, but Matt Gaetz is not going to do that. He'll go forward on all of these things if POTUS asks him. And, you know, we'll have to see how it washes out, if any of that stuff is even necessary.
What do you make of this here?
I'm willing to sit down with this administration like I tried to sit down with the previous administrations in my 10 trips to Washington and say, we have a problem that's overrunning cities.
So Eric Adams has recognized the problem of illegal immigration. Eric Adams also has legal problems on his own, so maybe more cooperative with the Trump administration because of that incentive as well. Your take?
Yeah, I think that all of a sudden him getting religion on the migrant crisis has a lot to do with the fact that he's under indictment himself. And some of the stuff you're seeing coming out in the media here is pretty troubling. It was a report yesterday about a multi-million dollar fundraiser that a local media outlet tracked down the named fundraisers, the donors, all of whom now say, I have no idea what you're talking about. I wasn't at that event. And in fact,
it was video all for Adams?
Apparently demonstrates that it was all for Adams. Yeah.
Wow.
So I don't know. The other thing a lot of people don't realize, and this is talking about irony, is that Adams has got an investigation going on into him that is ready for this in Alvin Bragg's office. So they are trying to get in on it because they sensed the blood in the water and a little bit of a feeding frenzy relative to Adams. Donald Trump is very sympathetic to people that have been investigated for what he believes are political reasons.
Right.
That a little bit goes to the Gates thing as well, I think. And so he seems to be sympathetic to Adams, but that doesn't mean that Adams doesn't have significant exposure. And Adams, at the same time as he says things like the clip you just played, is also saying things like, we will remain a sanctuary city. You can't square
that
circle.
Yeah, he's talking out about both sides of his mouth. Yeah, and that makes sense because every time I hear him say something that, like, oh, wow, Eric Adams seems to get it, and then he comes back with something that's full of nonsense. So that's consistent. Paul, thank you so much. Have a great weekend. We appreciate it.
You too, guys. Take care now.
Audio cut of the day is coming up.
Follow Mark on Twitter at Mark Reardon KFTK and Instagram at Mark Talk. This is the Mark Reardon Show.
Audio cut of the day coming up here. Before that, one more reminder that tomorrow we'll have a Reardon Roundtable right at 3 at the start of the show. Jay Duker on the panel, Jeff Rainford and Gene Evans, and then all our regular stuff in the 4 o'clock hour with Paul Hall on entertainment. Kusamana will be here. So I started a new show this week called Bad Sisters, which is on Apple TV+. Mr. Hall recommended that last week, and Jane said she liked it.
How do I remember
that? Well,
the
second season's out now. It's an English dark comedy. I rather like it. Bono's daughter is in it.
Oh, yeah.
I'm through about an episode and a half, and you know they just kind of released part of the second season, so I liked it. We'll talk about that a little bit more tomorrow. Let's do this here this afternoon.
Stand by. Playback ready.
Now, the audio cut of the day.
All right, well, I got a couple here, and this one sort of goes to the theme that I was trying to explain earlier in the hour with messages from friends of mine, so-called friends, I guess, that aren't friends anymore. They've decided, because if you go to a holiday party and you hate Donald Trump, you got to expect this. If you did vote for Trump, your family members hate you. Just remember that. Listen to The View.
If you are going to a situation where you have family members, where you have close friends who you know have voted in ways that are against you, it's completely fine to not be around those people. And to tell them why, you know, to say, I have a problem with the way that you voted because it went against my very livelihood and I'm not going to be around you this holiday.
I completely understand her point. I think when people feel that someone voted not only against their families, but against them and against people that they loved, I think it's okay to take a beat.
Yeah, that's Sonny Hostin and the crew saying, you know what, screw your family. Your family's been there for everything. Your family has helped you buy your first house. Your family's done all this for you. But now, because they voted for a presidential candidate that you don't like, you're going to disown your family.
This
it makes perfect sense, right?
Mentality has got to go. It's just bizarre.
I like this one, too, as a second part of Audio Cut of the Day. Joe Rogan saying a lot of people reaching out that didn't want to say it publicly.
There's a lot of people that don't speak their mind. Do you know how many artists that have reached out to me that are like, hippies, man, like artists, like musicians, comedians that thanked me for endorsing Trump because they can't do it. They said they want to, but they don't want to be attacked. They can't say it. They think the country is going in the wrong direction. They think that this control of social media by the government, which we would have had pretty much fully if it wasn't for Elon buying Twitter.
Mm-hmm.
But this is a dangerous precedent to set, whether it's a right-wing government or a left-wing government.
You know, what Joe Rogan there gives me a lot of hope, what he said there, because I think a lot of people that didn't want to get vocal, understandably so, their livelihoods are at risk, didn't want to speak up. They're happy that some of this is happening. And heads are exploding, and they will explode on the Reardon Roundtable tomorrow. We'll see you at 3. Yeah,
nothing ever seen. Get more at 971talk.com.
This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
It's better over here.
AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free. All on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Payoff up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in, trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
I'm Jed Lipinski. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.